This morning, I want to look at a question that David asks in 1 Chronicles, the 13th chapter, in verse 12. 1 Chronicles, chapter 13, in verse 12. Here David says, it says, David was afraid of God that day, saying, "How can I bring the ark of God to me?" David, we mentioned this story, and this is a story we're going to be looking at this morning. It's been trying to bring the ark of God to him in Jerusalem. And this is, you think, a noble thing to want, to bring God closer to him. He wants to have God near him. And we want the same thing, don't we? We want to have God in our lives. We want, as Jesus says in the Bible, we want God to dwell with us. But we see that David here, he is afraid and he's asking, "How can I bring God to me, the ark of God to me?" Because he's tried, and it didn't work. A lot of times we try to draw closer to God in ways that, and they don't work. Because they're not the way God wants. They're not the way that God has told us in his word. And I want to first look at some ways that, you know, things that David and the people did that didn't work. And then we're going to look in chapter 15, what they did that did work, and how they were able to bring God to them, or the ark of God to them. All right. One thing that didn't work was following the ideas of the government. David was the king. And if we look in verse 1 of chapter 13 here, it says, "Then David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds, and with every leader." Here, they've all got together and they've talked about this. And in verses 2 it says, "And David said to all the assembly of Israel, 'If it seems good to you, and if it is of the Lord our God, let us send out to our brethren everywhere who are left in all the land of Israel, and with them to the priests and the Levites who are in their cities and in their common lands, that they may gather to us, and let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul.'" Here we have, I think if you look in 2 Samuel 6, they had about 30,000, or I think that's right, people there. And they're all the leaders and the rulers, the captains of thousands and hundreds, every leader. And they're all agreeing, "Let's bring the ark of God back. This is a good idea. You know, this is a noble thing to want." But the way they did it was not good. We know they put it on an ox cart. And we can learn a lesson from that, that, you know, doing things the way the government wants is not going to be what's right. They're not, the government does not decide what is right and what's wrong. If you'll turn with me to Acts, the 4th chapter, and we'll look at verse 19. Acts chapter 4, and verse 19. It says here, "But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.'" Here, the Jewish government in this case is telling them to not speak in the name of Jesus anymore. And Peter says, you know, we have to listen to God over you. And you know, that's the same with us. It doesn't matter how the government says we should act and says we should be spiritually and how we should draw closer to God, their ideas is not what will get us close to God. It's not going to make us pleasing to God. What they say about homosexuality, what they say about other things like drinking, gambling, divorce, marijuana, those we don't follow their laws to draw close to God. Because their ideas about right and wrong are not going to work. And, you know, just having the right motives, just having a good motive for what we're doing, having our heart in the right place, that's not going to work either. If you'll turn back with me to First Chronicles, if I say Corinthians, y'all forgive me. But First Chronicles, the 13th chapter. And we'll look at verse 3 again. First Chronicles, chapter 13 and verse 3 says, "And let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul. And all the assembly said they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people." We know they had good intentions. What they were wanting to do was a good thing. They were seeking God. But just having good intentions isn't going to bring us close to God. We see they went about it in the wrong way. This reminded me of the passage in James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 14. James chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself does not, if it does not have works, is dead." You know, we can have faith. We can have the right mindset about God, wanting to serve God. We can believe in God. If we stop there, we're not going to draw close to God. He gives the example here of someone who is naked and destitute of daily food. We can want them to have the best in life. We can want them to be warmed and filled and have everything they need. But if we don't do anything about it, then it's not going to happen. And we can want to draw close to God, but if we are not doing it in the right way, we can even be trying, and we have to do it in the right way, or we're not going to draw close to God. We're not going to have God dwelling with us. And we noticed, you know, they thought it was right. They thought what they were doing was good. They agreed about it in verse 4 of 1 Chronicles, chapter 13. You know, I need to keep my finger there. But it says in verse 4, it says, "Then all the assembly said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people." You know, just because we think the way that we've decided to draw close to God is right, that's not going to make it work. We're not going to draw close to God just because we decide that what we're doing is right. We're not a good judge of what God wants. Turn to Acts, the 26th chapter. Acts 26, and we'll look at verses 9 through 11. We'll look at the example of Paul. See, talks about his life before he was converted. Acts, the 26th chapter, we'll start in verse 9. It says, "Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And this I also did in Jerusalem, that many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. Here Paul, he thought that was what he should do. He says in another place, you know, he lived his life in good conscience. He thought he was doing the right thing. But he was doing the exact opposite. He was fighting against God instead of drawing close to Him. Our own ideas are not a good guide to serving God and drawing close to God. So we need to just stick with His Word, what He says. And it doesn't matter how many people agree about it. You know, it's not just, you know, by ourselves our ideas are not going to be a good guide. It doesn't matter how many people you get behind you to say, yeah, that's right. We've already seen all the rulers have agreed with Him. If you'll turn back to chapter 13 of 1 Chronicles, we'll look at verses 5 and 6. It says, so David gathered all Israel together from Shihor to in Egypt as far as the entrance of Hamath to bring the Ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David and all Israel went up from Bala to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up the Ark of God and the Lord who dwells between the cherubim, where His name is proclaimed. Here, all of Israel got together to come and do this. And it doesn't matter if the whole country is decided that, you know, it doesn't matter what they decide. If they decide something's right or wrong, that's not going to make it right or wrong. It's what God says about it. That is important. You can turn with me to Galatians, the first chapter, and we'll look at verse 9. Galatians chapter 1, verse 9 says, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches another gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Here Paul says that if anyone, he said this twice, we didn't read verse 8, but he says, if anyone comes and teaches something different than what they had already been taught, in the gospel, what we have in the Bible, and to let them be accursed of God. It doesn't matter, even if it was an angel, he says. It doesn't matter who says. If it's not the way God says, that's not what we need to do. And he says, in the next part, he says, do now I seek to please men. Even if everybody wants it to be a certain way, we're not trying to please men. We're trying to please God. And if we're changing our views and what we believe and think and how we act to please men, we're not serving Christ anymore. He says, I would not be a bondservant of Christ at the end of verse 10. We've stopped serving God and we're serving men at that point. All right. And you know, it doesn't matter if the way we're trying to please God is more efficient, if it's easier, if we think it's going to work better than what God has said. You know, you think about that ox cart. Now, that must have been so much easier than the priests carrying it on their shoulders. And I recently thought about, you know, they had an example of the ark being brought in on an ox cart. And it worked so well for the Philistines. If we look in 1 Samuel, the 6th chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 6. And we'll start in verse 11. First Samuel chapter 6 and verse 11, it says, and they set the ark of the Lord on the cart, and the chest with its gold rats and the images of their tumors. And the cows headed straight for the road to Beth Shemesh and went along the highway, lowing as they went. They did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left, and the lords of the Philistines went after them to the border of Beth Shemesh. Now the people of Beth Shemesh were reaping in their wheat harvest in the valley, and when they lifted their heads, they saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. And the cart came into the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh and stood there. A large stone was there, so they split the wood of the cart. They offered the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. And you see that, you know, in that situation, it seemed like everybody wins. The Philistines, they got what they wanted. God quit plaguing them. The ark was returned. The people were happy. And it just worked out so well in that instance. But we can't go to the people of the world and see how they're doing things to get our authority. And just because it works so well for them, or if we have an idea and we think it's going to be better than what God says, that's not going to work because we're not serving God anymore. We're not glorifying Him. If we'll turn to Numbers, the 20th chapter, Derek made this point a while back and it just really stuck with me. In Numbers, the 20th chapter, and verse 11, It says, then Moses lifted his hands and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Here, Moses and Aaron, they struck the rock. They've got plenty of water. You know, what's wrong? You know, well, what's wrong is they didn't do it the way God said to do it. You know, they got the water, but they didn't glorify God in the sight of the people by doing what He says. And when we do things a different way from what God says, we're no longer glorifying God in our actions. We're really, you know, trying to either glorify ourselves or someone else because we're not doing it the way God said to do it. You know, that we think about things like missionary societies, sponsoring church arrangements, and you know, orphans' homes and things. And people use the argument we could do so much good, you know, if we all work together, but would we really be doing God's will if we did those things? We wouldn't be glorifying God. We would be accomplishing a lot, but it wouldn't be helping us any. We need to work in the ways God has told us to work. And if you turn back with me to 1 Chronicles 13, look at verse 8. It says, then David and all Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on cymbals, and with trumpets. Here, they were really into this. They were playing with all their might. They had, we'll read in first chapter 15, you can see the zeal they had, the passion they had about this, and we still see it wasn't right. It was still wrong. It doesn't matter how much sometimes we say we love God. You can ask most people who believe in God, do you love God? And they'll say yes. And, you know, they might be on fire for God, so to speak. But if we're not serving the way God said, it's not going to bring us closer to God. Turn with me to Romans, the 10th chapter. Romans chapter 10. Of Romans chapter 10, and we'll look at verses 1 through 3. Says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." Here Israel was in a similar state at this point, and that they had a zeal for God, but it was not according to knowledge. And we can see in verse 1, they weren't saved. Otherwise, Paul's prayer and his heart's desire wouldn't be for them to be saved. It doesn't matter, you know, how zealous, how enthusiastic, and how passionate we are about it. If we're going in the wrong direction, we're not going to make it to God. When we think about Paul's life and his own life, we've already kind of looked at this already. You know, he was zealous. He was on fire, and it wasn't like after he was converted, he suddenly became on fire for God. He'd always been on fire for God, but he was going in the wrong direction. And we can fall into the same trap if we're not careful. So, and we've already kind of looked at this, but good intentions, it's not enough to just have good intentions. We look at Uzzah in 1 Chronicles chapter 13 and verse 9. Says, "And they came to Chittim's threshing floor. Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him because he put his hand to the ark, and he died there before God." Uzzah was trying to do something good in this situation, so he thought. He was trying to save the ark from falling off, but he was struck dead for what he did. I have no doubt that there was no ill intentions in his heart, but what he did was wrong. Good intentions do not make wrong right. We can turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Matthew chapter 7. Verses 21 through 23 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you practice lawlessness.'" Here we have a picture of people who were trying to serve God, but they weren't doing Father's will. They were practicing lawlessness. If we're not trying to serve God His way, we're not following God's rules, then we will be practicing lawlessness as well. We'll turn back. We'll read in verse 11 to 13. It says, "And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. Therefore that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, 'How can I bring the ark of God to me?' So David would not move the ark with him into the city of David, but took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite." We've looked at a lot of ways that they tried. They had all these things working together. We've kind of looked at them individually. But even all of these things together isn't enough to draw close to God. The government was on their side. They were for it. They had good intentions. They were zealous, and they were trying to do it the best way they knew how. But all this working together didn't make it right. So how can we have God in our lives? How can we draw near to God and have God draw near to us? I want to turn to chapter 15 of 1 Chronicles. We'll start in verse 1. Here in 1 Chronicles chapter 15 says, David built a house for himself in the city of David, and he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. You know, he prepared a place here, it says, for the ark of God. He's ready to try to bring God back again. And we need to prepare a place for God in our lives. We want to have God in our lives. We want Him to be close to us and to be close to Him. We need to make room for Him. And I thought about it, you know, this preparing a place, I don't know what all might have been involved. He might have had to, you know, clear a plot of land. He probably had to get some things out of the way. You know, we have to get some things out of the way in our lives sometimes. If you'll turn with me to Luke, the 8th chapter. We'll look in verse 4. Luke chapter 8, and we'll look at verse 4. In the parable of the sower, as Jesus explains, if I'm in the right place, says, no, it's not verse 4. I think I was wanting verse 14. If you look at verse 14, it says, now the ones that fell among the thorns are those when they have heard or go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. We have to prepare a place for God, His Word, in our lives. If we've got thorns in our field, then the Word is going to get choked out by the cares, the riches, and pleasures. And it's so easy, because all you have to do is not try. You just have to live your life and just go with it, and you have not made any room for God in your life. You know, we just have to take care. You know, we do this every day. We take care of the cares that come up. We work. We try to, you know, we go after the money. We may not ever be rich, but what do we spend all our time doing sometimes? And the pleasures, you know. So how many times do we choose to do something that will please ourselves instead of doing something that will be pleasing to God? We need to get these thorns out of our lives so that we can serve God. And I want to turn back to chapter 15 of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 11 starting says, and David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priest, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Asaiah, Joel, Shimei, Eliel, and Aminadab. And he said to them, you are the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves and your brethren that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place I have prepared it. He didn't have to just prepare a place for the ark. He went and got the priests. He got them prepared. He told them to sanctify themselves. If we want God to dwell with us, we need to sanctify ourselves. We have to get rid of the sins in our lives, or God's not going to get close to us, because He can't stand sin. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll look at verse 22 starting. He says, and that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And when you put on that new man, which was created to God, according to God in true righteousness and holiness, we have to put off that old man of sin and the old ways and the things that we used to do and put on the new man. And we see better how to do that in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, he says, "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin." We back up to verse 3, he says, "Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death?" Here we had to get rid of our sins, we have to believe and repent and confess and be baptized. And we're being baptized into his death, he says. That's how we get rid of that old man. We have to put him to death and bury him in that in the waters of baptism so that we can be free from our sins. We die to our sins, and so we're no longer slaves to them. And then we have to serve exactly as God instructs us. If you'll turn back with me, 1 Chronicles, the 15th chapter, we'll notice verse 2 says, "Then David said, 'No one may carry the ark of God but the Levites, for the Lord has chosen them to carry the ark of God and to minister before him forever.'" And if you'll skip down with me to verse 13, it says, "For because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us, because we did not consult him about the proper order." I think some versions say we did not seek him according to the rule. We did not do it according to the rule. In verse 15, it says, "And the children of the Levites bore the ark of God on their shoulders by its poles, as Moses had commanded, according to the word of the Lord." We got it. Follow his word exactly if we want him to be pleased with us. We can't make changes to it. He's set what he wants us to do. We just need to do it. And Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 17. This applies to every area of our life. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." In every area of our lives, we need to be following God's will exactly. We have to live whatever we do in word or deed. We have to do it by Jesus' authority. And if we do this, this is how we will draw close to God. If you look in John, the 14th chapter, and we'll look at verse 21 starting. John chapter 14 and verse 21, Jesus says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." And Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." We have to keep God's commandments. That's how we truly show our love to God, is when we do what he says. And we do it exactly the way he says. And we need to have that zeal and that enthusiasm in our keeping his commandments. If you look back to 1 Chronicles 15, you'll notice verse 16 says, "Then David spoke to the leaders of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be singers, accompanied by instruments of music, stringed instruments, harps, and cymbals, by raising the voice with resounding joy." And look at verse 25. Says, "So David, the elders of Israel, and the captains over thousands, went up to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord from the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And so it was that when God helped the Levites who bore the ark of the covenant, with the Lord, that they offered 7 bulls and 7 rams. If we could keep on reading about David, how he was dancing and all the music and the joy, and they were on fire. And this time they were doing it right, and God helped them, it says. We saw in verse, I think that was 26. And this is how we need to draw close to God. And we need to have this zeal about it, too. If you look with me to Romans, the 12th chapter, in verse 11. Romans chapter 12, verse 11, Paul says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We need to not be lagging in our diligence. We need to be careful and working hard. We also need to have that fervent spirit serving God. And also, we kind of have the attitude of David's wife, or she's called the daughter of Saul in this verse, almost like David didn't want to claim her. Not that he was necessarily writing this, but it says in verse 29 of 1 Chronicles, it says, and as it happened, as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David whirling, playing music, and she despised him in her heart. And it's also not despised when someone is serving God with zeal and they're rejoicing, and, you know, maybe we're trying to, you know, be solemn and reverent, but let's not despise that fervor and the zeal that people have. As long as they're serving God the way He wants, that's the important thing. That was my lesson for this morning. Maybe there was something in there that might help you. It was helpful to me. If there is anyone here who is not a child of God, who has never done taking those steps to rid themselves of sin, who have not put off the old man by believing and repenting, confessing and being baptized. Or if there's someone here who has done that, but maybe we've let the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life or something else has come in and led us away from God. If there's any way that we can help you, please come forward to the front while we stand and sing. We'll do what we can.
When we walk